Well, good morning.
Thank you, Carol and Bev, for leading us, ushers, and Dave, and everyone's had a part in the service so far. Thank you. And thank you for coming this morning. It's good to see every one of you here. I have guests from Pennsylvania. It's good to have you all here. Before we turn to the Word of God, would you join me again as we speak to the God of the Word? Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we worship you today, as the psalmist said, in the beauty of your holiness. Thank you, Father, that in your holiness, you also are a God of love and poured out your love on us through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior. As we turn to your word now, Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would open the eyes of our heart, would speak to us, help us to see Jesus, to hear from him, to obey him. For I pray in Jesus' name, amen. I wonder, do you have someone that you can always count on? Someone that you can always count on. Someone who will never let you down. They're always there for you. If they tell you, they'll be there and do something, they do. And if they can't, they call you to let you know. How many of you have at least one person like that? Let me see your hand. Oh, okay. Two? Three? Four or more? The key word there is always, isn't it? It's hard to find someone that you can always count on. People want to do the right thing. They have good intentions, but they don't always follow through, do they? Reminds me of when you got a problem in the house, you got to call someone to repair it. Goes something like this. Dilbert's one of my favorite cartoons, and the repairman is telling Dilbert, he says, here's my cost estimate. I'll start the job on Monday. And then he says, when I say Monday, I'm referencing to the service industry space-time continuum. I'm not supposed to show you this, but check out our calendar. And Dilbert says, no Mondays. You know, finding someone you can count on, that you can always count on, is difficult. But when you do, it is a wonderful thing, isn't it? It's a wonderful thing. Well, I want to tell you this morning that you can always count on Jesus Christ, because he is the only one who will never let you down. He's the only one who will never let you down. And today we're going to look at two of four things that Jesus Christ will always do for us. Next week, Lord willing, we'll look at the other two. Two of four things that Jesus will always do for us. And we find them in the Gospel of John, the New Testament, in chapter 21. I invite you to turn there in your copy of God's Word if you have it. Last Sunday, Easter Sunday, Resurrection Day, if you remember, I spoke to you about a gift or a gamble. You must decide, will you either accept God's free gift of salvation, or will you take a gamble on which religion may be right? You can either accept God's gift of salvation or take the gamble. And it's on the website if you missed it. I encourage you to listen to it if you did not. But the amazing truth of the Bible we learned is that you and I can know God through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. And because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we now have access to God the Father. Isn't that an amazing thing? Now, I think I can safely say that most of us here believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Many of us claim him as our Savior and Lord. So my question for you is, what do you do now? What do you do now? What's next? Or do we say, goodbye, Jesus, you know, I'll see you around, thanks for all that. What's next? You know, that was also the question that Jesus' disciples faced after the resurrection. We don't stop and think about that, but they had to figure out, well, what are we going to do now? What do we do now? Jesus had shown himself to the 11 up in the upper room. He had also appeared to two disciples on the road to Emmaus. But what was their next step? What was their next step? What comes next has to do with the four things that Jesus will always do for you. And if you have a red letter edition of the Bible, these are the four things that you see in chapter 21 written in red. So we're going to look at two this week, two next time, okay? The first thing that Jesus Christ will always do for you is that Jesus will remind you of what he said. He will remind you of what, you know, I don't know about you, but I have a problem with my forgetter. I tell people when I hit 50 a while back, my remember kept working, but my forgetter kicked into overdrive. And some of you know what I mean. You're shaking your head. That's right. We need Jesus to remind us of what he said sometimes. Well, let's take a look at what the disciples did after the resurrection. John chapter 21, beginning at verse 1. I'm using the English Standard Version today. The Bible says, after this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, also known as Galilee. And he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, the King James says Didymus, which means he was called the twin, okay? Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee and two others of his disciples were together. Now, if you count that, there's seven, okay? And then verse 3 says, Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. And they said to him, we'll go with you. And they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet his disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? They answered him, no. Now, here we see that seven of the 12 disciples were together, and Jesus did what he said he was going to do. He arose from the dead. Well, now what? What are they going to do? And Peter's answer in verse 3 was, hey guys, I'm going fishing. I'm going fishing. Now guys, if you like to fish, here is a biblical precedent for going fishing. If your wife bugs you about fishing with your buddies, you can point out here that they went fishing and Jesus was there. Okay, wow, that'd preach if you're a fisherman, right? Now, why did they go fishing? They had been with Jesus. They followed him. They listened to his preaching for 3 years. They saw many miracles. Their needs were probably met through donations to Jesus. And they didn't have to work. But now that Jesus' ministry was over, they went back to doing what they knew to do. And what were they? They were fishermen. They probably had to make a living. Some of them may have had families to support. But I think it's simpler than that. When they didn't know what to do, they went back to what they knew. When they didn't know what to do, they went back to what they knew to do. But sometimes, that's not a good thing. If our hands aren't busy doing what God wants us to do, and we go back to what we used to do, we may find ourselves doing things we shouldn't do. Fishing can be wonderful and relaxing, but if you're doing something else, fishing can hijack your life. And one day you'll realize that life didn't make any difference for eternity for you. All you did was fish. Now consider Jesus' reminder to them in verse 5. He said, children, did you catch anything? Did you catch anything? What was Jesus reminding them about? Back at the beginning in Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus called them to follow him, four of them were called from the fishing business, if you remember. They were professionals. Jesus saw them and he said, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So Jesus called them away from a life of fishing. He changed their career. And this is the first record of them fishing since that day. So here's a principle. If Jesus brings you out of something, be careful about going back to it. If Jesus brings you out of something, be careful of going back to it. The amazing thing is that they fished all night and caught nothing. These were professional fishermen. Do you think that maybe God was sending them a message? I don't know. I wonder how long Jesus stood there. It doesn't say, but just imagine if he was there listening to them ranting and raving. Man, I can't believe we fished all night and didn't catch anything. But what did Jesus call them to do? He hadn't called them to be fishers of fish. He'd called them to be fishers of what? Men. He gave them a new job and a new job description. And when he calls to them in verse 5, look at what he says. He says, friends, haven't you caught any fish? I would love to have heard his tone of voice. I believe here that Jesus is reminding them, I haven't called you to go back to the lake and go fishing. I called you to go into all the world and preach the gospel, guys. You see, Jesus will always remind us of what he said. I wonder, what is Jesus' reminder to you and me today? What is he trying to remind you of? One way that you can hear Jesus is for you to surround yourself with other Christians, godly people that you respect. We call that the church. Another way to hear Jesus' reminders for you is to read your Bible. God's Holy Spirit takes what we read and reminds us when we need to hear it. In John chapter 24, verse 26, Jesus said, "The Holy Spirit will remind you of everything I've told you." So what has God called Christians to do today? We call it the Great Commission. The Great Commission, that's right. It's not about what you want to do or what I want to do. And listen to me, the path that God has put your life on is the path that will help you complete that mission in your life. I don't know about you, I grew up in a church that emphasized missions and missionaries, and we were kind of led to believe that if you really wanted God's central will for your life, you would go overseas somewhere and be a missionary. But you don't have to go overseas to be a missionary, do you? No. The path you're on is the one that will help you complete that mission. You don't have to go far away to begin obeying the Great Commission. Start where you are. Start where you are. Many days I find myself at Lord Botetourt High School. This last Sunday was Easter Sunday. The Friday before that was called what?
Good Friday.
You know what a student asked in class?
Why is it called Good Friday?
Was that an opportunity? You bet it was. And it was even a history class. How do you like that? And I was able to share that the word good there comes from the old English word good, which means holy or pious. That's why it's called Good Friday. Another student said first, he said, well, it's called Good Friday because Jesus died for our sins. He could say that. That was wonderful. There are opportunities all around us, folks. When you begin doing what God calls you to do, it's going to be difficult sometimes. It may even be challenging. There's some unknowns. You even have to trust God sometimes. What do we call that? Faith. Faith. Sometimes you'll wonder if you're making the biggest mistake of your life because you don't know how it's going to work out. I'm speaking from experience. When God called me years ago to finish my training for ministry, it took more than a year before I got the message. First, I lost my job, and then I couldn't find another job. And I wondered what God was doing, and I prayed a lot. And I think I tried everything I could think of, and when I got to the end of my list, there it was. Go back to graduate school and finish your Master of Divinity, Chris. And I was like, all right, well, it was on my list, but it was the last thing on my list, okay? You see, God had called me to preach, and I'd pastored 3 churches. And then I went into retail, and I found success in retail management, even liked it. But Jesus had to remind me to trust him and do what he said. And he did that through the people he put around me. And you know what? Jesus will do the same thing for you, but he will always remind you of what he said. So make sure you know what he said. Make sure you know what he said. And Jesus asked the disciples if they caught any fish, and what did they say? No. And sometimes we're so busy or distracted with life, even with religious activity, that we sometimes don't hear Jesus. We miss what he's telling us. He'll speak to you through events. He'll speak to you through problems that you're going through his word, through the Bible, and through other Christians sometimes. And sometimes we don't want to hear it, but he is trying to speak to us. We need to be in a place where we can hear him. So first we see that Jesus will always remind you of what he said. The second thing that Jesus will always do for you is that Jesus will give you good advice. He'll give you good advice. Look with me at verse 6 of John 21. He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of the fish. I wonder if maybe one of them said, "You remember back when we were out in the boat and Jesus had preached and we fished all night and we didn't catch anything, and Jesus said, cast out into the deep," and all of a sudden we got, I wonder if one of them remembered that and maybe started wondering, who is this? I said, Jesus, you know. But folks, let me tell you something. You and I always need his guidance. We always need his guidance. I don't care how sharp you are, how much you think you've got it all together. We always need God's guidance. You can't figure out on your own what God will tell you. You can't figure it out on your own. You need to ask for help. And many times you need to put yourself around other believers who know you. Especially when you get into the fog of life and you can't see for yourself and you can't hear for yourself and you don't know what God is trying to say. That's why it's so important to be part of a fellowship of the same group of Christians. Now, I'm not talking about just attending worship services. You need to be part of a smaller group where you can get to know other Christians and they get to know you. Something like an adult Bible fellowship class like we have here on Sunday morning, or maybe a home Bible study where you meet together, you pray together. Yes, it's also for fellowship. It's not just for Bible knowledge, but it's to be with other Christians, people that you build bridges to. And then when there's problems, sometimes God will speak through them to us. It's happened in my life. They'll pray with you and believe with you and encourage you. And God can use others to direct us. That's why He put us together as a church. Without God's help, most of what we do is wasted effort and it leads to failure. What did Jesus say? Apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing. Let that sink in for a minute. It's not all about you, but you know, I had training and I had success and I thought, well, I can do this. But I found out I couldn't without Jesus' help. Can you hear the gentleness in Jesus' voice in verse 6? He said to them, cast a net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. Notice here, there's no correction. There's no belittling. There's no giving them a hard time about being out there fishing in the first place. What does he do? He meets them where they are and gives them the guidance that they need. Jesus will do the same thing for you and me. He will. He will always give you good advice. It may not be the advice we want to hear, but it will be the advice that we need. Well, what kind of advice has Jesus already given to us? Well, here's some advice he's already given to us in the Bible. When you feel weak, you can't go on. When you feel like you're powerless against the forces working in your life, when you feel like all is lost and there's no one there to help you, and you feel like nobody cares and there's no way for you to make it in your situation, then God says to you, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. You know what that means? When you're weak, he is strong. When you're weak, he is strong. That's pretty good advice, isn't it? That's good advice. Jesus said, remain in me, and I will remain in you. He doesn't want to leave us. He says he will never leave us or forsake us. He says in his word, if you stay close to me, I'll stay close to you. That's good advice, folks, especially when you feel like life's going nowhere, when there's roadblocks in your life, or maybe a brick wall, and he says he'll be with us no matter what. I don't know about you, but that encourages me. Jesus says, ask and it will what? Be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. People say, well, I've already asked God for advice. I've already asked him what to do here, and I'm tired of asking. Maybe you've asked him one more time. One more time. Maybe that will be the breakthrough that you need. Okay, Pastor, I'll ask him. God, will you please help me? Nope, that didn't work. Well, maybe it's just one more time. We need to wait for his timing, don't we? If I've learned anything in the short life of mine, I've learned that my timing and God's timing are not the same thing. And his timing is never wrong. If we hold on to the reality of faith, it says, I'll believe even though I can't see, I can't hear, I can't understand, but I'm going to stay the course because God says if I do, he's going to stay with me. That's faith. That's faith. I like this definition. Faith is allowing your soul to go beyond what your eye can see. Now, some people will say, well, that's crazy. That's a bunch of baloney. I need proof. Well, sometimes the proof comes after you've walked the walk and not before. We all go through dark places in life where we feel God is far away. The only way to go through places like that is on faith. On faith. And guess what? When I come out of the darkness, Jesus is right there with me. Just like he was on the shore for those disciples. And he shows us that he has never left us. He's never forsaken us. In fact, he reminds us, I've been there all along. Every step of the way. Jesus will always give you good advice. Look back with me at John 21, verse 7. The Bible says, that disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, it is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and he threw himself into the sea. Peter couldn't wait to get to Jesus once he saw Jesus was there. When they landed, there was the Lord, fire burning, fish cooking on the fire. Jesus was there to meet the need they had. You know, often we need to be reminded of the same thing over and over before we finally get it. Sometimes we're looking for some kind of new revelation from God, but we need to hear what he said before. We don't need to hear something new. We need to be reminded of what we already knew but aren't doing. That's why you read the epistle sometimes, Paul will say, I need to remind you. I need to remind you again. Stay the course. Do the right thing. Read the Bible. Pray. Be in fellowship with other Christians. Serve. It's not that difficult. Just do it. Oh, Jesus, I'm having a tough time in life. What does he say? What does he say? Stay the course. Do the right thing. Read the Bible. Serve. Trust me. Believe me. Be in fellowship with other believers. And then Monday comes and your life seems like it's falling apart and I don't know what to do. God, what do I do? And he says, well, you can read the Bible. You can pray. You stay the course. You can serve. Be in fellowship with other believers. It's not new. Do it. Well, we've seen that Jesus' ministry didn't end with his resurrection. And it doesn't end when you're born again and experience Easter in your heart either. Remember what Jesus will always do for you. He'll continue to remind you of what he said. And he'll give you good advice. Next time, we're going to look at the last two things in this passage that Jesus said he would always do. Well, maybe you'd say, well, Brother Becker, this really isn't new. I've heard this all before. Well, what are you doing about it? What are you doing about it? What is the next step that God wants you to take? Will you take it? Is he waiting for you to trust him for the first time, maybe to admit you're a sinner and trust Jesus to save you and confess him as your Lord? Maybe you say, well, that's kind of scary. You know, the stepping out in faith thing is kind of new to me. Well, I know, but let me tell you something. Jesus will never let you down. He's the only one who will never let you down. Christian friend, are you at a crossroads in life? Is God asking you to trust him for something beyond whatever you've imagined or believed before? And start believing that Jesus will do these two things for you. He'll never fail you. He'll show up in your life. Is your next step to move closer to him? Is it to become start some new ministry here in Bedford County maybe? Is God calling you to follow him somewhere else, away from family and friends, to a new place, a new ministry, a new job? I don't know. Whatever it is, Jesus will never let you down. He'll never let you down. Remember, your decision to obey the Lord today will set the course for the rest of your life. Will you trust him today for something that maybe you think right now is impossible? If Jesus will always do these two things for you, then let me ask you this question. What are you willing to do for Jesus? What are you willing to do for him? Will you believe that he'll meet you at your point of need, that in that place of chaos that you may find yourself? Because he will meet you there. Would you bow your head with me? If you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you want to start one today, you know you need him and you want him in your life to do these things, then tell him right now, in your heart, talk to God. We call that prayer. Put your trust in him to save you. It doesn't matter how bad your life is. Come just as you are, and Jesus will meet you there. Admit you're a sinner. Believe on Jesus and confess Him as your Lord. Christian friend, do you want to recommit your life to Christ? Maybe you know things need to change. You haven't been obeying the Lord. You hear Him calling you to trust Him maybe in a new way today. You're serious about living for Him and obeying Him. You've made a decision today. Now in your heart, tell God. Tell Him about your decision. Heavenly Father, I pray that Your people today will be able to let go of things in their lives that are holding them back. That they'll begin to read Your Word and talk to You and ask You to open their eyes and to see how You want them to live. I pray today will be a day of transformation. Thank You so much for Your patience and Your purpose for our lives. Lord, we want to live for You. While our eyes are closed, let me ask you, do you believe today there's a call of God in your life, that He wants to use you to touch other lives for eternity? Then tell Him right now in prayer that you're willing to serve. Lord, please give us a great harvest of souls through these who are responding to Your call in their life today. Point them to where they need to be. Open our eyes every day. Help us to see the opportunities around us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you made a decision today to follow Jesus closer, you know who you are. If you don't think you made a good decision, let me remind you that every one of us here today made a decision. Either to obey and follow Jesus or not to. That's a decision also. We're going to sing a closing song in just a moment. I hope this song will be your prayer. Just a closer walk with Thee. Would you stand with me as we sing?